WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of WCRI's series on the Newport Music Festival. And once again, we are pleased to welcome Pamela Pantos into the studio, and she has brought some guests with her. This is reminiscent of a few months ago, Pamela.
It was a little colder then. Here we are thrilled to welcome back the Hermitage Piano Trio, who took Newport by storm this March when they performed at Marble House. As some of you know, it was a fabulous concert with a standing ovation, so if you missed it, you will have the opportunity to hear them on Thursday, July 19th at 8 p.m. this summer at the Stupendous Breakers in a beautiful program of all Russian music. Apropos to these fabulous Russian instrumentalists, we are absolutely thrilled that they're back. So just as a reminder to our listeners, if you would like to hear the radio show that we recorded in February, where Sergei, Ilya, and Misha introduced themselves and told us a little bit about themselves and their history, you can find this on the WCRI website, at classical959.com or at newportmusic.org right under podcasts.
There you go. So the podcasts are there. You can listen anytime you like and find out about their background, because we don't have time to repeat all that because there was a lot of it.
And it was very fun. So, gentlemen, thank you for being back here in the studio today. It is a little warmer and prettier than the last time you were here. So, Sergei, tell us what's going on. I believe that you recorded this year your debut album and that will be coming out sometime later in 2018, we hope. So tell us a little bit about it, and how did you go about picking your repertoire?
Well, hello again, and we're super excited to come back. And yes, we did record our debut album for Reference Recording last September. And talking about repertoire, which is a very important topic for the group, so it's going to be all Rachmaninoff CD, and we were going through a lot of repertoire, and we were trying to find pieces that would showcase and represent the sound of the group, which is the most important for us, not the virtuosic ability. You know, the sound is what's important, and we thought that Rachmaninoff, both trio, would do the justice.
Yeah, and so tell me about that. You know, for our listeners, when you talk about the sound or the timbre, or talk a little bit about that as a musician yourself, when you play, you know, how would you describe your own sound and you know, the sound of the ensemble?
Well, the sound is the reflection of the soul, I believe, and this is something that the musician either has or not. There's no way.
You can't teach that,
to
right?
Get it. You can't teach it. You can't buy it. You can't, you know, it's something that we spend 30, 40, 50 years developing inside, how to reflect what's going on inside of us out through the instrument. It's very important, and that's the most wonderful thing that there is in the instrument playing. And then we come to the subject of blending three different sounds in one. And that's, again, the most difficult thing to do. You know, you can put three people with different sounds, and it's going to sound like three people with different sounds. Rather than, again, we're spending years trying to blend them all together, and we feel that we're accomplishing just that.
And Misha talked, I remember very distinctly, he talked back in February about that and how all three of you are so committed to that blend, to your unique sound. And that's so exciting as, you know, as musicians that you are, you know, striving always for that. So why does your particular sound, why did you feel like Rachmaninoff was the right composer, the right vehicle for your sound?
Well, first of all, because we're Russians. and it's a fact that Rachmaninoff expressed Russian music and Russian soul. Probably he's one of the best in it, you know. And the other person would be Tchaikovsky. And we felt that it's a good debut, you know, the trio stepping out from the shadow, so to speak, in the recording market, and we thought it was a right fit.
How wonderful. So we're really looking forward to your debut album. So this trio, the trio number one in G minor, you will be playing it this summer in July on your concert, and we're thrilled about that. So tell us a little bit about that piece itself. And I know you mentioned Rachmaninoff in general, but tell us a little bit about that piece.
It's a beautiful piece. It's a one movement piece. He was very, very young when he wrote it, just 19 years old.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a dear friend. I played this trio first time in my life probably more than 15 years ago.
Wow.
And I just keep coming back to it. And I've played it several times during Newport Music Festival in the past, and very happy that we're going to perform it as a trio.
How exciting. Well, I know that we're all looking forward to this concert. And another piece that you're going to be playing this summer is Arensky's first piano trio, Misha. So would you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, there is a bit of a connection between Rachmaninoff and Arensky, because Arensky was actually one of his teachers.
Isn't that fascinating?
But Arensky is really not as well known as Rachmaninoff. And probably the piano trio that we're going to hear right now, the first movement of, is his most famous piece. It's beautifully written, you know, in the typical Russian dramatic style. It's a four-movement piece, and I'm sure that the audience that will come and hear our concert soon will be very much in love with the piece. It's passionate, it's got a lot of drama, and one other interesting thing, which you probably don't have too many things known about composers, there's an Antarctic glacier named in honor of Arensky. So maybe he's got like Beethoven and Mozart beat on those things, but
the only one with a glacier.
Yeah, the only one with a glacier.
So we are going to listen to Arensky's Glacier. No, we are going to listen to Arensky's first piano trio, the first movement, played by our wonderful guests, the Hermitage Piano Trio.
And then we'll take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
We are back, and Pamela, another interesting program with a great group of gentlemen. And tell us what's going to happen now.
You know, we're so fortunate that all three of these soloists are going to be with us as soloists this summer, but also as an ensemble. So I'm very grateful to Ilya and Sergei and Misha for, you know, being with us all summer. It's going to be quite remarkable. So, Ilya, I know that as in addition to playing as a soloist and playing as a member of the Hermitage Piano Trio, you and Sergei also have a duo recital on Wednesday, July 18th at 4 p.m. at the Newport Art Museum. So tell us a little bit about that program, you know, what it consists of and what you're excited to play and your relationship with some of these pieces.
Well, good evening, everybody. Yes, I'm looking really forward to this festival, and I'm so excited to play together with Sergei again. We've been playing together for years right now. And just a little detail, I don't know if anybody knows, but me and Sergei were actually classmates since the third grade, so we know each other for literally years. And then so we'll be playing Mendelssohn, Messiaen, and Shostakovich on that day. And I really like this program because it kind of shows us from completely different sides, because if you compare Mendelssohn and Shostakovich, you will realize that you really can't compare those two pieces because they're completely different. The brilliant Mendelssohn and everything written so virtuosic and like a bunch of brilliant and bright scales and passages everywhere. And then Shostakovich has this, as always, this darkness to it. Also brilliant passages, but it's like
brilliant darkness.
Brilliant darkness, yes. I like it, yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that concert.
And, you know, Ilya, you and I discussed this. You'll also be playing Rachmaninoff, the Morceau de Fantaisie that was written for solo piano on the Morning Fantasy concert on July 16th at 11 o'clock at the Elms. On your Elegy album that you recorded with Sergei, the two of you arranged this piece, and this the title of the album is after this piece, the Elegy, that we're going to hear in a moment by Sergei Rachmaninoff. So tell me a little bit about this piece.
This is one of my most favorite pieces, actually. Well, I can say that about every single piece that I'm playing, but this one also is one of my favorite pieces. It's originally written for piano solo, but it has such a beautiful melody. Well, you can say that about every single piece about of Rachmaninoff. But so we just decided to. In general, when I practice my own repertoire, solo piano repertoire, I always have in mind like if Sergei can play it or Misha, can they do that? So I'm always thinking of transcriptions. And this piece is just it lays so beautifully on a cello, and Sergei did an excellent, marvelous job with it. And then. And it's also dark, brilliantly dark.
Brilliantly dark.
So we are going to listen to this brilliantly dark piece called Elegy. It is the Morceau de Fantaisie, Opus 3 by Sergei Rachmaninoff, arranged and played by Ilya Kazantsev and Sergei Antonov on their Elegy album, again, available on iTunes.
are back once again. A very interesting program. And Pamela, where are we going to pick it up now?
Well, we now have the third member of this wonderful Hermitage Piano Trio, Misha Kalin, with us, this fabulous violinist. Misha, you are playing several outstanding pieces this summer. We are so lucky to have you with us. Tell us about a few of your favorites and why you love those pieces.
Well, I mean, it's a tremendous program you have for the whole festival. I think the amazing thing is that people that will come to any concert will hear such a diversity of different cultures of composers. I mean, you have, like for me, I get to play as early as a piece by Vivaldi, and I get to play a piece by Saint-Saëns. I mean, you know, how do you compare these two worlds? But, you know, if you to look what happened between the two, of all the connections that you go Vivaldi, Bach, and then Bach to Beethoven, you know, Mozart, of course, Haydn, Handel, and then you get to Schubert. So, I mean, there's this wonderful lineage. So I think to the audience listener who comes, it's kind of going to a wonderful painting gallery where you have different styles. Right. And of course, everybody has their own favorite style. So if you have to put a gun to me, it's probably still the romantic stuff that I love. I mean, it's going to be such a treat to play the Mendelssohn Octet. I mean, here's one of the masterpieces of all music, not just chamber music. I mean, here's was the 17-year-old kid that wrote such a masterpiece that few have equal to. I mean, it's great.
And you know why that piece is actually being played on the opening performance? Because it was a request from Sergei Antonov. Sergei said, you know, Pamela, that's one of the pieces that I think our audience would love. It's full of hope and joy for the future, and it really it portrays so much about the festival. It's a highly romantic piece, but it also is a very tender piece. And so that is why we are ending our opening night concert with that piece, because it was a request by Sergei.
Sounds like a great way to kick off the whole season there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, if we would go down the line, I mean, the Four Seasons of Vivaldi, even though I'm not playing the lead violin, I am leading the orchestra.
You're leading the orchestra for us. Yes.
I mean, it's just such a piece of, everyday life. I mean, talk about a piece that's used in commercials, talks, you know. And in some ways, I'm happy that you don't hear it as much as you used to about 20, 30 years ago, because a lot of people don't know this, but it's the most recorded piece of classical music commercially. And in some ways, sometimes you need a little break from things. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while since I've actually had to do anything with it. So I'm looking forward to that.
And I'd like to add to that. So what's interesting about that piece is it's been played a lot at the festival, but never in this ensemble. We're actually bringing a harpsichordist this summer, which is sort of the way it was done originally. And in speaking with Stephanie Chase, who is our solo violinist, she actually helped with the edition we're using this summer. She worked with Hogwood on it and has not been able to play this piece. So I am thrilled that Stephanie's coming to play that piece, and I'm thrilled that Misha's going to be leading the orchestra for us on this piece.
Now you're scaring me. Do I have to bring the candles too? I mean, are we going to have electricity or this?
Right.
You know, I mean,
go back in time with the harpsichord, right?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. So that's exciting. Yeah. I didn't even know about that. So it's a pleasure for me to find out.
And you're going to be blindfolded.
That will be a problem. And of course, when you get to, I mean, the true romantics, the Dvorak's and the Tchaikovsky's, I get to do one of his American string quartet, and I get to do the Souvenir de Florence. Even though I'm not even playing first violin, it's enjoyable. I actually think that it's an interesting observation, because when you're playing the first violin, you're always kind of holding everybody together, because that's what happens. That's a job.
Right.
And when you're second violins or second viola or second cello in, you know, sextets or octet, for example, where you have a lot more, you get to maybe enjoy hearing things from the side and chime in once in a while, but a lot of people don't realize that that supporting cast is important as the leading voice, because chamber music is all equal parts. It has to be like that, because if you just hear one person, something is not right.
Right,
something's
it should be
not right.
All smooth and together.
And you know, if you think about it, here we have, that's one of the things that's remarkable about this festival is all of these instrumentalists, you know, Misha, for example, who said, you know, I'm willing to play second violin on that piece and other pieces. Of course, he's playing a lot of first violin as well. But when you have such great instrumentalists that are willing to be part of an ensemble for the sake of being an ensemble, that's really what makes a great company, in this case a great festival. And I do want to emphasize that the last performance of the entire season on the 22nd, Sunday the 22nd, we're doing two big church pieces, the Pergolesi Stabat Mater and the Vivaldi Gloria. And all of these incredible soloists, they all have solo careers all over the world, have said that for the 50th anniversary, they will join together and they will form a chamber orchestra and they will do that for the festival and they're willing to play any part. And I am truly touched, and I mean that very sincerely, and so grateful to all of these great instrumentalists who are coming this summer. Soloists, you know, record all over the world, and here they are and coming to be an orchestra because they want the festival to thrive and they just want to make great music. So thank you to all of our instrumentalists for everything that they're doing for this 50th anniversary season.
A great tribute to the Newport Music Festival.
Oh, we're so lucky to have them.
That is. That's
so
very neat.
I think that we're time to close. Unfortunately, we could go on talking about all these great things. Misha, thank you so much for being here this evening. We are going to close with the Brahms Piano Trio Opus 101. And why don't you tell us a tiny bit about this, Misha, before we listen to your great recording of
this?
Well,
before Misha speaks, why don't you and I, Pamela, just take a couple minutes to review what's going on this fabulous season.
Okay.
And maybe we can just touch on some of the things that are happening this season. Dates, again, for people that are listening perhaps for the first time.
Sure.
The dates are?
Well, we're opening on, we're opening on July 4th this summer with a free concert for the community. It will be at King Park. We have the Boston Brass coming, and they're going to perform an All-Americana program. And they will start at 8 o'clock in the evening, and they will finish their program just as the fireworks start. So as the fireworks start, they're going to play the national anthem, which is, I think, a great way to give back to the community for 50 years. We will have two free concerts on the lawn of the Art Museum on the two Tuesdays during the festival. We, of course, have the Hermitage Piano Trio playing this summer. And we have one thing that I think is very special. Friederike von Stade sang here in the second festival in 1970. She went on to have her debut that same year, and she's coming back to give a concert for the 50th anniversary with Jake Heggie, the composer, the American opera composer. And Flicka, Friederike von Stade, she's known by all of her friends and fans. Flicka just opened for the Boston Symphony, so here she is performing brilliantly so many years later, and she's doing an autobiographical program. So we have so much going on, as Misha mentioned, the Four Seasons, Imani Wynn's coming, Joshua Bell is playing for our gala this year. There's just so much going on, and again, we are so grateful all of these great musicians who will fill the air with brilliant classical music.
All of this information is available if you go to the website, which is newportmusic.org. Very easy to remember, newportmusic.org. And remember that a lot of these venues, whether they're the Breakers or the Marble House or the Art Museum or wherever they are relatively small. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about, you know, fitting in 3,000 people into this.
Right.
So if you would like to get tickets, make sure you do it. It's, in some cases, already too late. But
but
check out the website and support this wonderful thing, the Newport Music Festival. There is a phone number for those of you that need to call. You can call 401-849-0700. But the best way to do it is to go to the website, newportmusic.org. Okay. Now we can get back to Misha and introduce this last piece that we're going to have.
Right. Well, this is the so-called presto non assai, which really means fast, but not fast. The typical, you know, whimsical Brahms that left us many descriptive things when we look at his music, and some puzzling, just as this tempo marking is. It's from his last piano trio that he did. It's a second movement, and he wrote three piano trios. And what's fascinating about this, he was really in his string moment, because Opus 99, which is two opuses before, was the famous cello sonata. Opus 100 is his violin piano sonata, and Opus 102, which comes right after this piece, is his famous Brahms double concerto, which was originally supposed to be Symphony number 5, and then later on he changed it. So it's a very enchanting movement. It's very typical Brahms, and it really signifies what chamber musical is all about.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Misha. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Again, newportmusic.org, and we look forward to seeing you very soon at the festival.
thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.